Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, Verse 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vishvam Yad Etat Swatano Nishante. Vishvam yadetat svatano nishante. Vishvam yadetat svatano nishante. Yatavakasham Purushaha Paro Bhavan Yatha Vakasham Purusha Paro Bhavan Yatha Vakasham Purusha Paro Bhavan Bibharti so yam mama gharbhago bhud Bibharti so yam mama gharbhago bhud Bibharti soyam mama garbhago bhud Aho nilokasya vidambanam hi tat Aho nilokasya Vidhambanam hitat Aho nilokasya vidhambanam hitat Vishvam The entire cosmic manifestation Yad etat Containing all moving and non-moving creations. Svatano, within your body. Nishaante, at the time of devastation. Yata avakasham, shelter in your body without difficulty. Purushaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Paraha, transcendental. Bhavan, your Lordship. Bibharti, keep. Saha, that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ayam, this form. Mama, my. Garbhaga, came within my womb. Abhut, it so happened. Aho, alas. Nilokasya, within this material world of living entities. Vidambanam. It is impossible to think of. He, indeed. Tat, that kind of conception. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This is Devaki speaking. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos containing all created moving and non-moving entities enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. Purport. As explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service to the personality of Godhead is of two different kinds, Aishvaryapurna, full of opulence, and Aishvarya Stila, without opulence. Real love of Godhead begins with Aishvarya Stila, simply on the basis of pure love. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundarama Chintya Gunasvarupam Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. That's Brahma Samhita 5:38. Pure devotees whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of prema, love, want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shama Sundar, Murlidhar, with the flute swaying in his two hands. This is the form available to the inhabitants of Vrindavan who are all in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Shama Sundar, not as Lord Vishnu, Narayan, who is worshipped in Vaikuntha, where the devotees admire his opulence. Although Devaki is not on the Vrindavan platform, she is near the Vrindavan platform. On the Vrindavan platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother Yashoda, and on the Mathura and Dwarka platform, the mother of Krishna is Devaki. In Mathura and Dwarka, the love for the Lord is mixed with appreciation of his opulence. But in Vrindavan, the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not exhibited. There are five stages of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead: Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Devaki is on the platform of Vatsalya. She wanted to deal with her eternal son, Krishna, in that stage of love. And therefore, she wanted the Supreme Personality of Godhead to withdraw his opulent form of Vishnu. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur illuminates this fact very clearly in his explanation of this verse. Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta do not belong to the material world. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitaityan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in the spiritual activities of unalloyed devotional service immediately transcends the modes of material nature and is elevated to the spiritual platform. From the very beginning of one's transactions in bhakti, one is situated on the transcendental platform. Vasudeva and Devaki, therefore, being situated in a completely pure devotional state, are beyond this material world and are not subject to material fear. In the transcendental world, however, because of pure devotion, there is a similar conception of fear which is due to intense love. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktyamam Abhijaniti Yavanyas Chasmi Tattvataha, and as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktyaham Ekaya Grayaha. Without bhakti, one cannot understand the spiritual situation of the Lord. Bhakti may be considered in three stages called Guni-bhuta, Pradhani-bhuta, and Kevala. And according to these stages, there are three divisions which are called Jnana, Jnanamayi, and Rati, or Prema. That is, simple knowledge, love mixed with knowledge, and pure love. By simple knowledge, one can perceive transcendental bliss without variety. This perception is called manabhuti. When one comes to the stage of jnanamayi, one realizes the transcendental opulences of the personality of Godhead. But when one reaches pure love, one realizes the transcendental form of the Lord as Lord Krishna or Lord Rama. This is what is wanted. Especially in the Madhurya Ras, one becomes attached to the personality of Godhead, Sri Vigraha Nishta Rupadi. Then loving transactions between the Lord and the devotee begin. The special significance of Krishna's bearing a flute in his hands is in Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, is described as Madhuri Virajate. The form of the Lord with the flute in his hands is most attractive, and the one who is most sublimely attracted is Srimati Radharani, Radhika. She enjoys supremely blissful association with Krishna. Sometimes people cannot understand why Radhika's name is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, however, Radhika can be understood from the word aradhana, which indicates that she enjoys the highest loving affairs with Krishna. Not wanting to be ridiculed for having given birth to Vishnu, Devaki wanted Krishna with two hands, and therefore she requested the Lord to change his form. Om Gyan Timrandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshulam Militam Yenam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Siyuta Padakamalam Siyuta Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shishi Krishna Balaram ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Shishi Radha Shama Sundar Lalita Vishakadevi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation again. At the time of devastation, the entire cosmos containing all created moving and non-moving entities enters your transcendental body and is held there without difficulty. But now this transcendental form has taken birth from my womb. People will not be able to believe this, and I shall become an object of ridicule. Hare Krishna. I'm very humbled and grateful to try to speak something about Srimad Bhagavatam today. I'm feeling completely unfit, unqualified to speak before any of you. Please forgive any transgressions. Please have mercy on me. Hare Krishna. So Devaki is speaking. They're still praying to the Lord who has appeared. And the Acharyas have explained that Devaki is requesting that the Lord, instead of appearing in a four-handed Narayan form, that he appear in a more human-like form. And so the Lord may have an objection. No, it will be good if I stay in the four-armed form, because then people will appreciate and respect you. And Devaki is countering that type of objection by saying what she has said here. No, actually, it can be very embarrassing. You are the Lord of all creation, of all destruction. If people hear that I have had this type of son, it may be embarrassing. You can understand sometimes reputation is very important. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna, which means that if someone can understand the birth and the activities of the Lord, then they don't have to take another birth in this world. They're eligible to live with the Lord in his abode. So what does it mean about people in this world? It means, generally speaking, they don't understand the transcendental nature of the birth and the activities of the Lord. And so such people, if they hear that the Supreme Lord has taken birth from Devaki, it might be embarrassing for her because they won't understand. And so Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned in the purport, this type of fear and anxiety that Devaki is expressing, it's not exactly like a material type of fear, but it's an aspect of her devotion, her love, her relationship with the Lord. Basically, this whole purport is about levels of devotion, different types of relationships, the kind of spectrum that's given in Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is such an advanced description of Godhead that there are so many different forms, different incarnations, and with all those forms, different ways to associate and reciprocate with the Lord. And so what Prabhupada has explained about Devaki and Vasudev is that although Devaki is not on the Vrindavan platform, she is near the Vrindavan platform. On the Vrindavan platform, the mother of Krishna is Mother Yashoda, and on the Mathura and Dwarka platform, the mother of Krishna is Devaki. So it's like to refine the conception, to get the clearest idea of the topmost ideal of pure devotion, We're getting this example of Devaki, who is just near that high ideal. There's a few terms in this purport that Srila Prabhupada uses that are quite interesting. He says, bhakti may be considered in three stages called Guni Bhuta, Pradhani Bhuta, and Kevala. Anyone ever heard those terms before? I hadn't heard those terms before. Apparently, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he uses those terms frequently. And as far as I understood, Prabhupada is kind of referring to his comment on this verse. So Guni Bhuta, what is a Bhuta? A Bhuta means a ghost. And the gunas, we know what the three gunas are: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So someone who's on the level of Guni Bhuta Bhakti, it means their bhakti is haunted by the ghost of the three gunas. It means that bhakti is there in the person's consciousness, but it's not very prominent. What's prominent is the three modes of nature. One example could be like Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. He tells Arjuna not to be overly attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. There's some followers of the Vedas who are doing pious works with an aim to achieve higher planets and achieve material opulences. Krishna says don't be too attached to that. So if such kind of person, their main motivation, their main hope is to increase their position in the three modes of nature. Now if such a person has a little touch with bhakti, then that would be like Guna Bhuta Bhakti. It's like mostly they're haunted by the modes of nature, but also maybe they chant the name of Krishna, they heard something from a devotional scripture like Bhagavad Gita. Or another example, you could think of like Arjuna in the role that he is playing at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He tells Krishna he doesn't want to fight. Why doesn't he want to fight? Because he's thinking that they're his teachers, his relatives are in the opposing army. If he kills them, there will be sin. If he kills them, then any kind of kingdom that they can achieve will be tainted with their blood. He says something about, you know, if we kill all these men, then there can be a social disturbance. The women are left unprotected. The family tradition, religion can be lost. So those may all be good objections from one standard of vision, from a more material standard of vision, but all of those points are within the realms of the three modes of material nature. So even though all of those considerations are in terms of, you know, our position in the material world, and so it's not the highest transcendental vision. On a higher transcendental platform, we're thinking, I'm the soul, I have an eternal relationship with Krishna, I should do devotional service to Krishna. Whether I win or lose in this material world is not the main point. So when we're thinking of that, the point is to achieve something in the world, then it's like Guni Bhuta Bhakta. As devotees, we can be careful about this too. You know, if we're given a certain service, sometimes we're thinking, how can this increase my reputation, my prestige? You know, maybe I'll gain something by doing this or avoiding that. That's like a Guni Bhuta Bhakta. So it means that the karma and jnana are very prominent, and bhakti may exist to a small degree. The second one, pradhani bhuti bhakti, right? It means that bhakti is prominent, but karma and jnana are still there. So we're serious in our devotional endeavor, but still there's some concern for karma, for jnana. And Kevala Bhakti, That's the highest standard. That's the standard that Srila Prabhupada is pointing us to. Like we sing, Si Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma Kevala Bhakti. That's the standard of devotion of our acharyas, of Srila Prabhupada. That's what they want to give us. And so, again, to hear different types, standards of different types of bhakti, help us refine the point. Srila Prabhupada is talking about even having the knowledge of the Lord's opulence. He makes this distinction. What does it say? Between Aishvarya Purna and Aishvarya Stila. It means considering the Lord full of opulence, that's Aishvarya Purna, and Aishvarya Stila, without opulence. He says real love of Godhead begins with Aishvarya Stila, which means without opulence. When one's love is simply, when one's devotional service is simply on the basis of pure love. So Devaki is like very close to that, but we can observe something about her consciousness that's not quite at the level of the devotees of Vrindavan, to help us kind of refine the idea. Nice verses from Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Instruction explain this as well, the end verses. Rupa Goswami writes in the ninth verse, I'll just read the English. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha, the transcendental world, because the Lord appeared there. Superior to Mathurapuri is the transcendental forest of Vrindavan, because of Krishna's Rasleela pastimes. And superior to the forest of Vrindavan is Govardhan Hill, for it was raised by the divine hand of Sri Krishna and was the site of his various loving pastimes. And above all, the super excellent Sri Radha Kund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian prema of the Lord of Gokul, Sri Krishna. Where then is that intelligent person who is unwilling to serve this divine Radha Kund, which is situated at the foot of Govardhan Hill? So if you think of like the cosmology of the Bhagavatam in the material world, there's the hellish worlds in the lower regions of the material universe. People there are very absorbed in sin. Then there's like the earthly plane of Bhumandala, where we are. Where there's some piety is there, some God consciousness, but it's generally quite mixed. And there's the higher planets where there's a greater degree of purity, Brahma's place, and then it goes on. And then beyond this world, beyond the material universe, there's Vaikuntha, and beyond Vaikuntha there's Goloka. And there's different consciousness in each type. And what's amazing, Rupa Goswami says, Mathura, Prabhupada writes, although it appears to be in the material world, this Mathura is higher than Vaikuntha. Why? Because the Lord appeared here and did pastimes. And according to where Krishna had more intimate types of pastimes, like in Mathura, he had certain types of pastimes. In Vrindavan, he had other types of pastimes. In Govardhan, he had other pastimes. In Radhakund, he had the topmost pastimes. And so according to those activities of the Lord, different places here, although seeming in the material world, it's even more exalted than Vaikuntha. And then text 10... In the Shastras, it is said that of all types of fruitive workers, he who is advanced in knowledge of the higher values of life is favored by the Supreme Lord Hari. Out of many such people who are advanced in knowledge, Gyan, one who is practically liberated by virtue of his knowledge may take to devotional service. He is superior to others. However, one who has actually attained prema, pure love of Krishna, is superior to him. The gopis are exalted above all the advanced devotees because they are always totally dependent upon Sri Krishna, the transcendental cowherd boy. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most dear to Krishna. Her Kund, lake, is as profoundly dear to Lord Krishna as this most beloved of the gopis. Who then will not reside at Radha Kund and in a spiritual body surcharged with ecstatic devotional feelings render loving service to the divine couple Sri Sri Radha Govinda who perform their Astakaliya Lila, their eternal eightfold daily pastimes? Indeed, those who execute devotional service on the banks of Radha Kund are the most fortunate people in the universe. So I don't mean to go too high, but I just, these verses show different levels of consciousness. Material consciousness, the karmis, the jnanis, then the bhaktas, and amongst the bhaktas, so many different standards of devotion. And then again, who is in the highest standard of devotion? So, wow, time has really passed. Something I thought to look at least a little bit, if there's any time, Srila Prabhupada writes, as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, loving service to the personality of Godhead is of two different kinds. Again, Aishvarya Purna, full of opulence, and Aishvarya Stila, without opulence. So I was thinking what Srila Prabhupada is thinking about in Chaitanya Charitamrita to describe that distinction. And I was thinking there's several places, but a very beautiful and powerful place where this is described is in the Madhya Lila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has a conversation with Vyankata Bhat. And Vyankata Bhat is a... he's like a follower of Ramanuja. And he's worshipping Lord Narayan. And his devotion to Narayan is very wonderful, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciates it very much. But he, at one time, it says they're living together and they have a sweet friendship. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it says, just as a joke, he asks Vyankata Bhat, can you say something, please? You're worshipping Narayan, and the consort of Narayan is Lakshmi. How, and I am worshipping Krishna, who's just a cowherd boy. He takes care of the cows. How is it that Lakshmi wants the association of my Lord Krishna? She's the most chaste lady. How is it possible for her to maybe leave the side of her husband and want the association of Krishna? And so Vyankata Bhat, he says, well, actually Narayan and Krishna, they're the same person. Like it was said in a class a few days ago by Panchagoda Prabhu, he explained, we know the analogy of the high court judge. The same person, he can have different relationships. When he's at work, everyone is dealing with him very formally. But then he may go home, and he has his children, his wife, relatives, and people are less formal. They're not worried that he's going to throw them in jail or something. And so he can have a more sweet set of relationships at home. So Krishna and Narayan is like God when he's in his high position, and Krishna is when he's enjoying intimate relationships. And so Vyankata Bhat says, so it's the same person. It's actually not a deviation. It's not an issue that she isn't chaste. Because Krishna is the same person as Narayan, just Krishna has more sportive pastimes. And so sometimes she wants to be... It's natural that she also wants to take part in those more sportive pastimes. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, yes, that's true, but how is it that Lakshmi Devi, why is it she's not allowed to enter into the Ras dance? Lakshmi Devi wants to to dance with Krishna in the Ras dance, but they don't let her into that dance. She's not able to go there. Even she's performing austerities. You know, during the lockdown, we had this very nice boat ride once where we went down the Yamuna, and on the other side of the Yamuna, in a place called Bailvan, there's a Lakshmi temple, and she's doing her austerities, terrible austerities, for a very, very long time, because she wants to join the Ras dance. But she's not able to. Why? Why, Vyankadabhati? Why isn't it possible? And so Vyankadabhati says, I'm sorry, I'm just an ordinary human being. I can't understand the answer to this. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives some answer to this. And to hearing something about this answer is relevant. Many relevant points can come out on this topic. I'll try to read a little bit as far as we have time. The Lord replied, Lord Krishna has a special characteristic. He attracts everyone's heart by the mellow of his personal conjugal love. By following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of the planet known as Brajalok or Goloka Vrindavan, one can attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. However, in that planet, the inhabitants do not know that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There, someone may accept him as a son and sometimes bind him to a grinding mortar. Someone else may accept him as an intimate friend and, attaining victory over him, playfully mount his shoulders. The inhabitants of Brajabhumi know Krishna as the son of Maharaj Nanda, the king of Brajabhumi, and they consider that they have no relationship with the Lord in the Ras of opulence. One who worships the Lord by following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi attains him in the transcendental planet of Braj, where he is known as the son of Maharaj Nanda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then quoted, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Mother Yashoda, is accessible to those devotees engaged in spontaneous loving service, but he is not as easily accessible to mental speculators, to those striving for self-realization by severe austerities and penances, or to those who consider the body the same as the self. The authorities in the Vedic literature who are known as the Shrutiganas worship Lord Krishna in the ecstasy of the gopis and followed in their footsteps. The personified authorities on the Vedic hymns acquired bodies like those of the gopis and took birth in Brajabhumi. In those bodies, they were allowed to enter into the Lord's Raslila dance. Lord Krishna belongs to the cowherd community, and the gopis are the dearmost lovers of Krishna. Although the wives of the denizens of the heavenly planets are the most opulent within the material world, neither they nor any other women in the material universe can acquire Krishna's association. The goddess of fortune Lakshmi wanted to enjoy Krishna and at the same time retain her spiritual body in the form of Lakshmi. However, she did not follow in the footsteps of the gopis in her worship of Krishna. Vyasadeva, the supreme authority on Vedic literature, composed the verse beginning Nayam Sukhapo Bhagavan because no one can enter into the Raslila dance in any body other than that of a gopi. So the point is that the personified Vedas, the Shrutigans, they were attracted to associate with Krishna in the Ras Lila, and they were able to achieve that goal. Why? Because they followed in the footsteps of the gopis, even to the point of taking their birth in Vrindavan Dham. Even to the point of taking their birth in Vrindavan Dham from the wombs of the gopis. But Lakshmi, even though she was ready to do so much tapasya, so many austerities, she has such a great desire, but she wasn't completely ready to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. She wanted to retain her spiritual form of Lakshmi. And that attachment to the opulence of the Lord is what prevented her from being able to fully take part in the pastimes of Krishna. You know, maybe I'll just end with one more thing. There's maybe so much more to hear from that story, but I'm not good at budgeting time for these classes. I'll just read from Srila Prabhupada's purport in Bhagavad Gita to the verse 1865 that we all know, Manmanabhava Madbhakto. Srila Prabhupada writes, the verse that Krishna speaks is, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. And Srila Prabhupada's purport is very beautiful and very relevant. He says, the most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. Now, this second paragraph is very important. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feather in his hair. Peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi-forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So he makes that distinction. Srila Prabhupada says, even we shouldn't deviate our mind to the other multi-forms of the Lord, like Vishnu, Narayan, Ram, Varaha, etc. We should just look at our Radha Shama Sundar. We want to see the form of Krishna with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face, and peacock feathers in his hair. Are there any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
But we see she is fortunate that she is always Prasanna's lord's lotus feet. So she had more opportunity than the gopis. The gopis are associated, but here she is massaging the lord's lotus feet. Can you tell something about it?
Hare Krishna. Yeah, she's always massaging the Lord's feet in the form of Narayan. And so the connoisseurs of devotional service, our acharyas, are saying that the sweetness that she is experiencing, it is not of the same quality as the consorts of Krishna who are intimately associating with him. Krishna has a quality that is more sweet, more sublime, more beautiful. And so our acharyas are pointing us to be at the feet of Krishna, not at the feet of Narayan. Is that okay? Yes, we mentioned this. They're the same, but like the analogy that Srila Prabhupada gives is like the high court judge, someone that is in the position of the high court judge. When he's in the courtroom, everyone is dealing with him very formally because he has a very important position. He can send you to jail. You have to be very careful, very respectful of the high court judge. But that same judge, when he goes home, then he has more intimate relationships with his children, his family, his wife. And so they're not worried he's going to throw them in jail. Even his wife can scold him and his children, you know, make a mess and go wild. And it's the relationships are different. And so it's the same person, but our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, are telling us that the highest goal is to associate with Krishna in Vrindavan. That is the most intimate, sweetest form of bhakti. I'm so sorry we cut you off, Srita Kirti Prabhu.
No, the gopis, they would give the dust of their feet in order to cure Krishna's headache. So it's a very different relationship. Mm-hmm. When I first met Prabhupada in Los Angeles in the garden, he said, "We just love Krishna. He may be God or maybe he's not God. We don't care." Mm. So wow. That's a very different relationship. That's higher relationship. Wow. We just love Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Something else? It's after 9. Right, so the prescription of our acharya wants us to bring us to the highest standard of loving Krishna, but the prescription for the grand temple worship is to keep some formality, some respect, similar to how Lakshmi Narayan would be worshipped. It doesn't mean that we're worshipping Lakshmi Narayan. We're worshipping Radha and Krishna. We're worshipping Radha Shama Sundar. But we're keeping, in the style of worship, we're keeping a type of formality. And that's for our purification, for our like step-by-step, so that we can move closer to that end goal. That's my humble understanding. Is that all right? So we're not worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, we're worshipping Radha Shama Sundar, right? That's their name, that's their form. But we're giving some respect because if we were to be too over-familiar, there may be more potential for mistake and offenses. And so that's the Srila Prabhupada's expert prescription for us. You know, like the doctor says, take this medicine, to take this food, you have to do this, you have to do that. That will cure your material conditioning in the most effective way. Maybe we'll keep it there. It's already after 9. Thank you so much for your attention. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Nitya Gopremanandi.